This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's Thursday afternoon. Phoebe, how are you feeling this Thursday afternoon?
Yo. Okay, let me settle into the show. Hello, Gareth. Hello.
You're looking very nice today, by the way.
Thank you. Future CEOs, I've got to, as Fashion Lab said, it's about fashion etiquette.
So, you didn't tell me how I'm looking today.
Oh. It wasn't a rhetorical question.
Okay.
You look... Wow. I'm so proud to be your co-host on the show. If only they could actually, like, you know, screenshot of... Actually, well, I'll screenshot you.
No, you know what? Let's move on.
Okay.
So, Phoebe, tell everyone what the show is all about. If they've just joined us, this is the first time they're hearing us, what do we do here?
You always make me say this, and I have no problem. It's our future CEO community is... Young in the ages of entrepreneurism, young potential and high potential executives who want to fast track their careers, especially the ambitious entrepreneurs out there. And we like to catalyze entrepreneurship. We like to advocate and we like to amplify. That's what the show is about.
Those are the words. I love those words. If you want to be part of the show, the line is always open, 0861 555 189. Also, you can find us on Twitter, use the hashtag Future CEOs, or alternatively at CliffCentral.com or at Future_CEOs. Also, finally, WeChat. Go and find our page there, Cliff Central. You can listen live there as well. Okay, let's get into the show. What are we talking about today? And I think it's a bit of a challenging show to everyone out there. Phoebe, what is the challenge?
Do you have entrepreneurial DNA?
Yeah, do you have what it takes, right? Is it really within you? And I think everyone says yes,
Do you have the right stuff? Is it a special kind of stuff? Are you born with it? Those are the questions that we're going to tackle today, the first half hour of the show.
No, we can't tackle them. We really have to have the best people, I guess, in the country to come in and tackle them. And that's who I think we have here today. Where shall we start? Phoebe, you choose, and then we'll go.
Carmen, the lady with the great hair. Carmen Di Rito, did I pronounce it well?
Perfect.
Tell us who you are and why you think you're an expert on our entrepreneurial DNA topic this half hour.
All right. So I'm from Lifeco Unlimited, which is a social impact enterprise. I'm a co-founder of the organization. It's been going for about 18 years and working with individuals to enhance their life performance by focusing specifically on the kind of thinking that they need to engage to do that. I don't think I'd consider myself an expert. I would consider myself a student of entrepreneurship, and being in the presence of young, budding, potential entrepreneurs, you learn so much. Having worked and being a co-founder of an organization, you're constantly learning what it takes to make something happen. And starting something from scratch that's the challenge that most entrepreneurs embark on.
Jayshree Naidu, the woman with such a hectic schedule, welcome to the show and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I head up the Standard Bank Incubator, and we get to work with entrepreneurs on a daily basis, and we host some of the most interesting entrepreneurs across the country.
I'm sure.
So that's what we do every day. You've been following us on Twitter, so you've been seeing we had amazing female entrepreneurs this morning as well. So those are the type of entrepreneurs we get to work with every day.
What do you think about our guests?
I can't wait to... Let's just chat. Let's just get on with it.
Let's just get into this.
Yes.
Okay, well, there's the challenge. Are people born entrepreneurs, or is it something that we can develop? Over to you, ladies. Let's debate this.
First off, I'd say no. Not everyone's an entrepreneur.
Okay. Interesting.
It's saying, is everyone a doctor? Is everyone a painter? I do think it's a calling and a calling that you have. Some people find it by accident. So yes, but where I do think the ability we do all have, though, we may not all be entrepreneurs, but I do think we can all be intrapreneurial.
Okay.
Explain.
Right. So an intrapreneur is someone who may not have the risk profile that an entrepreneur has, but they certainly can add value within an organization. They don't see themselves as employees, but they see themselves as value-adding contributors of an enterprise. Mm. So they're not there just to get their paycheck. They connect with the vision and the purpose of an enterprise. That is the distinction. So it goes beyond being an employee, but you can certainly, we all have the stuff to be entrepreneurial. There's a place for both.
I like that.
Jayshree, I really hope you're going to take the other argument here and put your foot down or put your flag in the sand there. Yes, no, or are you agreeing with Carmen?
Well, since you said it's a debate, I'd like to just differ slightly because I agree with everything Carmen said on the entrepreneurial side. Mm. But I personally think that everyone has the ability to be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
The difference is we haven't exposed enough of our society to the benefits of being an entrepreneur.
Okay.
We haven't created enough of an enabling environment. So there was a study done a couple of years ago. I went for a talk at WITS, and it talked to the DNA being transferred from parent to child makes people entrepreneurial. But then when they did the studies further, they found that individuals that spend time around others that were entrepreneurs, you always get these jokes, you know, does your dad have a takeaway around the corner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're an Indian, you're a natural entrepreneur. So you get those type of comments. And in the Greek community, many, many entrepreneurs. But it's like passed down from generation to generation because you're surrounded by that. So everyone has the ability, but not everyone has the resources to actually become entrepreneurs.
You know, I love that point because it's like an athlete, it's like an artist. You know, you grow up in that environment. So artists and readers create other readers, athletes create other athletes. And that's just true for entrepreneurs, correct?
Successful athletes, 90% perspiration, 10% preparation.
Absolutely,
so
absolutely. I think also that people have that innate dream of just wanting to be independent and not going to the job, you know what I mean? They want to kind of create their own destiny and value missions and legacy. And I think that is the core of wanting to be an entrepreneur, is that you want to create for yourself and not by anybody else. You don't want to be other people's vision. Yes, no, Carmen?
I agree with that. It is about, I think, entrepreneurs, what they do exceptionally well is that they're driven by purpose and passion. And there is this misnomer that I want to be entrepreneurial because I'm going to make lots of money, which is a misnomer. And if that's what gets you out of bed every morning, unfortunately, you will fail. It's the passion and the purpose that drives you. And the capital or the profit that comes from it is really the byproduct of your purpose and passion.
So I guess I'm asking myself the question, how do I then determine whether I really am connected to something or not? What are some of the symptoms that I can maybe measure to determine whether I have it or I don't? Because I think we're all connected to money and it's easy to connect there, but how do we connect to our passion? How do we know if we're connected?
It's the thing that makes you come alive. It's the thing that you are in pursuit of no matter what the obstacles. If you speak to some of the most successful entrepreneurs, they speak about they were driven by something bigger than themselves. They're bothered by a particular problem. They see a gap in the market and they get excited by that. And I do think it's something you detect. It's something you've got to constantly ask yourself, is this the thing that makes me come alive and that can pull me through any obstacle? Mm. And often I don't think, I agree with Jayshree, that we don't spend enough time creating the enabling environments to have young people ask themselves those questions, to actually critically reflect on where is my life going and what is the contribution I want to make. And in doing that, I've got to have a clear set of, I've got to have an idea of what it is that I'm good at. And often it is in being enterprising and making the mistakes and through those experiences that I learn about myself.
Mm.
And it's a detection process.
I'm sure, Jayshree, the woman that spoke at the Lionesses All Women Entrepreneurial kind of gig that you had this morning, you could see that these women, there is no clear definition of what they do and who they are. It's a blurred line. And I think that's one thing you can definitely kind of pull out of an entrepreneur, that life is who they are, what they do, and how they create that vision and make it come alive. How was your morning? Did you see that? Is that what
Definitely.
You experienced?
I mean, I would have gone on all day if I could, but I had to come to Cliff Central, so we had to cut now. I'm kidding. But the reality is, I mean, we listen to two amazing entrepreneurs, and I'll just give you a glimpse of their lives, if I can, in a few seconds. I mean, Margaret Hirsch, who most of us know is one of the most entrepreneurial individuals on the face of the earth, I'm sure, after listening to her story. But she was so relentless in her pursuit of doing something really, really great that she had to overcome so many obstacles to get to where she wanted. And the other individual was someone who's a lawyer who's now turned baker.
Turned baker?
Exactly.
Okay.
And this is an amazing, amazing young lady that has her bakery in Mabuneng Precinct, and she is a qualified lawyer, but she followed this dream, followed this passion, and there's this burning desire inside an entrepreneur. They know what they want, and no matter what stands in their way, they'll find a way to get around that, to achieve that passion that's burning inside them. I shared a link recently on purpose fuels profit. Because the reality is, if you are purpose-driven, whether you're an intrapreneur or an entrepreneur, your purpose will help you achieve the profits you desire. But don't start with profit in mind.
Okay.
Start with purpose in mind.
So, I mean, I've got to interrogate what you've just said a little bit, and we must look at it. Because I just can't see people waking up in the morning, and this is just me, and maybe some of our listeners as well, saying, man, I want to be a baker today. And I'm not belittling what she's doing at all. I'm just trying to discover or uncover how do we connect? How did she do that? Did she share?
Yes, she did. I mean, she loved baking. She did it all the time.
Okay.
Her stepdad even asked her, are you going to make money out of this? You know, will you make money out of this?
That's a nice indicator,
I think.
That's a nice flag.
100%. So if you feel that there's something inside you, we've had individuals that work at Standard Bank that come onto our entrepreneurial development programs, which is kind of different because you've got a corporate that's running this massive institution, but you've got staff members that are receiving entrepreneurial development support.
Mm.
And individuals have realized that they really need to pursue their passion and their purpose. And it's about allowing them the time and space to do that, because you'll always be half-hearted if you're not given the space and time to pursue what's your dream.
So after the break, we are going to be talking investing in your employees. And we had a nice conversation off air already with one of our guests who raised an important point about, I think, some of this stuff, connecting, having the right people in the organization. If they're going to leave, well, they're going to leave anyway, so just rather let them leave. What are your thoughts on what we're hearing here around the entrepreneurial training that happens in a corporate? Libby?
I just find that, you know, as a person who longs for or to have an entrepreneurial spirit, I think it's fear of loneliness, because it's a very lonely space to be in, you know, and people do business or go to the job to interact with that energetic kind of workforce. Flexibility and change and adapting to that. I mean, those are entrepreneurial kind of verbs. And I think that a lot of people are fearful of all of those reasons and above. Yes or no, Carmen?
I agree. I think that's what entrepreneurs do really well. They can traverse the paradox. You've got to be the lone wolf,
sure,
but you've also got to be able to connect and work very closely with teams.
Mm.
You've got to be able to do it on your own, despite the naysayers, so you've got to have a hell of a lot of courage and confidence. And then you still need to, in face of all of that doubt and disbelief from the rest of the world, you should be able to stand up and convince and influence. They traverse those worlds so skillfully, but the thing is that it's learned over time. It's through practice, and it's that perseverance that everyone talks about, that entrepreneurs have, that really gets them to the point where they master that ability to traverse these paradoxical qualities that they need to have.
So let me ask this question to both of you, because you both seem to have different elements of something here. Are you that person? Are you traversing the paradox, both of you? Because you seem like you would be because of the role that you play, both of you in your organizations. Yes or no? And then the second part of my question is just give us a couple of hints on how to do that. Some tips. How do you move across these two very different places, parallels?
Okay, so I see the eye contact is over to me. We have great examples of individuals in the organization, but I'll use myself. I always say that I am an entrepreneur, although I work in a corporate, because I've been able to take the business principles, and I've been an entrepreneur outside of before joining the organization. I've taken all of those learnings and I've applied it to what I'm doing right now. So I have an owner-driven mindset, and I think that's what's important. So if you're going to be in an organization, you need to have an owner-driven mindset.
You need to
think about the role as if it is your life depends on it, your food on your table depends on the role that you're fulfilling. You've really got to be passionate about it. And the only reason I took on this role was because it tied in and it linked to my value system. It linked to what was driving me personally. And I think that's a stage that you grow into after having been in a job for a long time, or being, you know, in an industry for a long time, where you can make those choices. But it is a choice that you make to wake up and go into work. You should never go into work to earn a paycheck. You should go in to make a difference, and to make a difference with those around you. So that's what's important.
It's such a challenge. It's such a challenge. Carmen, you're nodding your head, you're smiling. Obviously, you're agreeing.
I am. I think what should drive you is the value you can add. And Muhammad Yunus speaks about this. He talks about our natural state as human beings is to be generous. It's to be productive, and it's to engage with the world. It's it's selfless. And yet when you look at what the world looks like, you get a sense that it's a pretty selfish world. And yet what it is, that's ultimately what it's about. It's what is your contribution, and can you harness all of who you are to make sure that that contribution is of value, and that it brings value to others as well. And that, I think, brings fulfillment, not just to the individual, but to an enterprise and even to a huge organization as well. And it's that ability to keep learning. I think that's also a key that entrepreneurs do exceptionally well. They learn from failures. They're not afraid of failures. In fact, they embrace failures and they see them as stepping stones to the next success that they could have.
Do I need an MBA? No. Yes?
No.
Do I need experience in startups? No. Yes.
You need a business acumen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how would you get experience in a startup if you've never been in a startup? Where would you get experience in being a startup? So it's just, you know, it doesn't tie in together. You need business acumen. So let's not, you know, anyone can be an entrepreneur, but there's certain skills that you have to learn. And that's why, you know, when you have business skills, sometimes you make a better entrepreneur. Sometimes you're worse off for it because you're too stuck in a box. But you need certain skills to be a great entrepreneur. But those skills can be taught, and it can be learned by the entrepreneur willing to, you know, acquire those skills over time.
What skill are you seeing entrepreneurs lack the most in your incubation programs and processes that you run?
So some of the technical skills required to run a business are missing. We find that there's a huge gap in terms of financial acumen. And then just in terms of positioning and branding their business, we're finding that there are gaps in that space as well. But more on the technical side is also access to expertise in terms of technical incubation or mass manufacturing, injection molding. So those type of technical skills are lacking, but they can be outsourced. But entrepreneurs just need to know where to find that support as well.
Carmen, I guess that's where you guys come in. I mean, these are the services that you offer through your program, except that you do it in a unique way, which is the social entrepreneurial world. Just care to take 30 seconds and just describe this idea of social entrepreneurship, and then where you guys fit in, please.
All right, social entrepreneurship, although the term has been bandied about quite a lot. It seems it's quite trendy.
Yes.
It's something that has existed for centuries. I think it's most prevalent now given the state of economy and the state of inequality and poverty that we not just as a nation confront, but globally as well.
Mm.
So it's become more pertinent and relevant. But basically, if I can just sum it up, social entrepreneurship really harnesses the principles of capitalism, and it brings, attaches a conscience to it. So it really is, social entrepreneurship is really, very simply put, it's about capital in service of people and planet.
Can you hear that? That's like a wow moment. There was silence in the studio.
That's clearly like nodding,
it.
Nodding.
Yeah,
nodding,
I love
nodding,
it.
Nodding,
nodding. Like your work, girl. What can we touch base on? Carmen, since you're on a roll here. So entrepreneurship is a set of skills that can be learned like any other vocation and trade. Can you just carry on with that point?
Attached to the technical requirements, what we're also finding is that there are certain attributes that we need to develop in terms of the confidence.
Yes.
That's a big part of what many of our entrepreneurs lack. And I think if you look at societies that are more entrepreneurial and they've got this legacy and they've grown up in families that are that, there's a confidence there that is just infused throughout. And that confidence comes from the ability to test and try things out. And I don't think we create those spaces enough for young people to do that. School is all about getting it right, sitting in straight lines, following instructions.
Never fail, never fail, never fail.
Never fail. And yet, entrepreneurs
There's a punishment, actually, to failure in school.
Exactly.
Very nice.
And yet we expect entrepreneurs to be the disruptors, to color outside of the lines, to question. And
sure.
So how are you expecting young people to be the entrepreneurs of the future if they're not given the space to do that? So there's certain attitudes that you have to have, and those attitudes can be shaped and they can be instilled in young people as soon as possible. And this is not something that you wait to start happening in high school. It can start as young as primary school, where you get them to question and play and learn from failures. The way we perceive failures, particularly in South Africa, I think we've got to confront. We do,
so.
As a nation, we want to, our soccer team fails, we want to write them off.
Very much so.
Instead of understanding what it is that has led to the failure and spending time investing in the failures and the lessons that presents, we focus on, we'll abandon the talent that sits there. And that is our responsibility, I think, as organizations, to create those spaces to allow people to fail, to try, to get up again, and to refine it.
So I don't know about you, Phoebe, but I think that the entrepreneurial journey is also a very emotional journey. And so you do invest a lot into the businesses or the baby that you are creating. And maybe that's part of why we don't take risks, because there's an emotional consequence as a result if the risk doesn't pay off. Jay, should we a thought or two on this point before? I mean, time is moving, so we have to wrap up. Just a thought or two.
It's one of the reasons, Melanie, you had her on your show. She wrote recently that there's a difference between a wantrepreneur and an entrepreneur.
Very nice, okay.
And those individuals that are always wanting to take a chance and becoming entrepreneurs are known as wantrepreneurs. But there's a whole lot behind that. If you've always worked, you always want to work, because there's something solid about that, about earning a paycheck and making a difference. But if you've got an entrepreneurial bug in you, you're always going to want to do something different.
Okay.
So it's about balancing your risk versus reward.
Okay.
Are you willing to take that chance? Have you got enough put away so that you don't jeopardize your family and your income stream and everything around you that's dependent on you to create a sustainable life for yourself?
Mm.
So it's important to weigh out all of your options before embarking on an entrepreneurial path, because you're right, it is a lonely path, but it's worth the effort if you get it right.
And work actually won't seem like you're working at all. It's blissful engagement.
Exactly.
Constantly.
Ladies, I'm afraid we have run out of time. The conversation really needs to go on for another half hour, so we're going to have you back in studio at some point. But thank you very much for your insights. We really, really do appreciate it. Just very quickly, your contact details. People have heard you. They said we want to connect. How do they do that? Please, Carmen.
They can check out our website. It's lcu-sa.com. And if you are an impact entrepreneur wanting to disrupt and give us transformative solutions, please apply now.
You can email us on incubator@standardbank.co.za or follow me on Twitter @JaishNaidu.
I gotcha.
Great, great. All right. Thank you very much, ladies. We really appreciate it. All right. After the break, we're talking investing in your employees. We will see you right after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.